Welcome to the Family Matters series on Charisma News. I'm Marty Pieper, and today I'm super excited to introduce another Marty. This is pastor and author Marty McCaskey. Welcome to our Family Matters podcast.
Thanks for having me on, Marty. It's great to be on a show with somebody who shares my name.
I know, right? Even though you spell it incorrectly, but I'll give you a break for that. I always thought I had a best friend in high school who was also named Marty, and she spelled it with a Y, and I kept telling her that was a man's name, but for some reason, she never got it. So anyway, now that that's out of the way, one of the reasons that I especially wanted to talk to you for our Family Matters series is because of a new book you have coming out, and I just think it relates so well to what families are facing today. This is, it's kind of an unusual situation, I guess, it, like we're in right now. You released a book, a couple years ago called Parenting First Aid, and now you have a study guide coming out. Am I saying that correctly?
Okay. You certainly are, yes.
Okay. So I know what our heart was in doing this series, wanting to provide hope and help for families. And I noticed your subtitle for your book is Hope for the Discouraged. When I look on social media or just about anywhere else these days, I see a lot of discouraged people. Would you speak to that just a little bit, please?
Yeah, you know, we have this dream that we will parent children, we'll be a wonderful family, and we envision that we'll have a few bumps along the way, but we don't think that those bumps are very big, certainly nothing that would wreck the car. And then some real challenges come up. Our kids grow up to becoming young adults, and then they start having adult-type problems. And, you know, whether that be relationships, getting involved in drugs, being confused about gender. There's just all kinds of things out there. Pornography is a click away, and our kids get involved in one of those major challenges, and we're like, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this. What's going on, God? And you know, the dream that we had of being largely trouble-free is all twisted up for us, and that is something that we grieve and is hard for us. And we all have a little bit of staying power. Okay, well, all right, let's buckle down. We're gonna deal with this. Let's not panic.
Just do it.
Yeah, and then it doesn't change, or it gets worse, and then that's when parents really find it difficult. And I wanted to provide a resource that parents could use to come alongside of them and point them regularly back to the Lord for hope and for help.
Exactly. Now, what about, because I know you're a family pastor and you work on curriculum geared for families beyond this book, what special concerns do you see for families? I know you didn't write this book for COVID-19, or for this season, but what special concerns do you see people facing right now that might be different or escalated from what you've seen before?
Well, you know, it's kind of like what happens when you go on vacation with your children in a long car ride. If you're having a conflict with a teen, a middle school student, and you guys are going, they're going to school, you're doing your thing, you know, you're not at home, you're at work, and now all of a sudden their school has gone online from home, and your work has gone online from home, and you're with this teen, kind of like that car ride.
You're stuck in the car. Yeah.
You can't go anywhere. They can't do anything with their friends because of quarantines and everybody wanted to be careful. And, you know, they're young. They hear that things don't affect young people so much. And so they're not interested in wearing a mask, and you're feeling obligated for them to wear a mask. That only brings another layer of conflict involved. And, you know, it can be really challenging to bring conflict into a close proximity. But the thing that I've seen is that it helps us face the challenges that are actually there and deal with them. Because sometimes what we can do is ignore the challenges and they just keep going on, and they actually get worse. And so I've seen some families that are now actually having to deal with things, learn how to communicate, learn how to reach out together in love, and because they're going to be facing that person in the living room again tomorrow. And
exactly.
I think God's using it. Yeah.
And that's what he would want to do, isn't it? That's part of how he's Romans 8:28-ing, if I can make that a verb, this whole thing, to bring people closer together and closer to him.
Well, it is, and there's a part of us that wants to, but, you know, it's much easier to avoid conflict because it's not pleasant sometimes when we sit down to have a conversation. You know, you say to your teen, look, we need to get together and talk. I don't want to talk. You'll be the one talking. You'll lecture me. You don't want to listen. And you're like, no, I want to come together and listen. Yeah, that's what you say every time. And it's like, oh, that is so uncomfortable. I don't want to deal with that. I'm just not going to say anything. But that, of course, doesn't make things go away.
Right. Now, I know, I can tell, even just from the way you're talking, you're not just speaking as a scholar in an ivory tower somewhere. You have dealt with this in real life. So let's get a little bit real. What about your own family? I know one of the things you say in your book, I completely agree, that we grow through our trials. What are some of the, you can share as few or as many as you want, but what are some of the trials that you and your wife faced with your own kids that might, and maybe your answers, that your how you worked through them that might encourage other parents?
Well, we started with twins, a boy and a girl. And our girl, Emma, was what you might call the picture of a perfect Christian young lady. She knew the Lord at a young age. She was very compliant, and she wanted to follow the rules. She wanted to obey. And our son was the opposite. He was an explorer, an adventurer. He wanted to do his own thing. He didn't want to be constrained by rules. He wasn't interested in doing things that we said because we said them. He said to me one day, he goes, Dad, look, I'm not one of the kind of guys that can just learn from a lesson and do it that way. I can't learn from other people's mistakes. I have to make them myself. And I was like, no!
That's what I'm trying to save you from, son.
Yes. And so we got the proverbial call from the police station. Can you come pick up your son? Now, as a pastor, I'm trying to be the example.
Right.
And suddenly now
no
I've got
pressure.
This issue. And only to find out that it made the newspaper. And
oh,
you're like,
my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. And what I discovered was that my son was sneaking out in the middle of the night to go to the local park and drink with other church kids.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, Lord, I am sleeping. I'm trying to parent from morning until night. But how do I do this while I'm sleeping? God, what am I supposed to do?
Oh, my gracious.
And I felt like the Lord just comforted
my heart. You needed
first
aid.
I did. I got some first aid from some of the other pastors. What I felt like the Lord say is, I don't want you parenting standing up. I want you parenting kneeling down. You see, I had envisioned I'm going to be the pastor that does it all. I'm going to do devotions with my kids. I'm going to take them to church. I'm going to watch and be a good gatekeeper over their media intake. I'm going to steward their friendships. I'm going
Super
to homeschool
Dad.
Them. And I'm going to do it all to help to show people how this can be done well. And God said, you know, you all those things you got, they're all really good. But guess what? One of them doesn't begin with J and spell Jesus. You're doing this in your strength. And you're going to take the glory for yourself. And just like he did with Israel, he just removed his hand and said, all right, you want to do it on your own, by your own means? Go ahead.
Ouch.
And then I'm going to come back up on the backside, and I'm going to lift you up when you've fallen, and I'm going to do a work in your family. And what we realized was, you know, when the psalm says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain, you say, like, okay, who's building the house, me or God? And the answer is yes, we're doing it together. And I learned that you can't build your house on your own. You need to bring the Lord in. And so for someone out there who's working through challenges, you know, people will come to me and they'll say, Marty, I don't know what else to do. I have tried everything. And I say, all right, have you prayed and fasted? Oh, well, yeah, okay, I know I need to do that. No. It's not like that's not the tack on. That is the main thing. You want God involved as that second man building your house, the second watchman looking over the city, because you want to be able to, when you go to sleep at night, rest. And that's what God promises for those who engage him, that he'll be that second man, the second set of eyes on the wall. He'll be the second set of hands helping to build your home. Just engage him.
That is awesome. I mean, it's terrible, but it's awesome. I know I look back at the times we have 5 children and I look back now grown. And I look back at those times where I was just falling on my face before God. And I realized those are the times that I can use to encourage other people the most. And they certainly don't make me look good, but they definitely make him look good. Now, when you were looking at your previous book and deciding to turn it into a workbook, you were thinking about families that might be struggling. Will you explain a little bit about how these two go together?
Sure. You know, we can read a book and pass through it pretty quickly, and we think that because we read it, it's now a part of our lives. But if you stop and ask someone who goes through a book, what have you changed for having gone through this book? Very often, the answer in my life, in everyone's life, is, well, I guess nothing really. I did get a couple of good ideas, but I haven't really acted on them yet. You know, that's a good thing. Thank you for the reminder. I'm gonna do something. I'm gonna put it in my calendar.
One of these days. Yeah.
Yeah. So a study guide and it gives you a workbook so that you actually have to write down what you're going to do, write down the answers to the question. And there's something more than reflective. Reflecting is very good, and it helps us to draw in more deeply what we're reading. But beyond reflecting is actually implementing. And so, you know, if you go through and it talks about the importance of confessing to your children, you think, oh, that's, I can see how that's important. But then if someone says, so what in the past week or two could you confess to your children to help them to understand that you need the gospel too? And you start thinking, oh, you know what? Saturday, I was fuming angry because everybody was sleeping in. Nobody wanted to get up and help me do the whatever that is. You know what? I lost it. I'm going to go back to my kids, and you write down, you know, confess my anger for Saturday. And then you actually do it. And all of a sudden now you've got more than just, you know, it's a really good thing to confess your sins to your kids, to give them a sense that you need the gospel too. And now you actually have done it. And there's something encouraging about actually doing things. You know, I hate having to balance the checkbook, but man, after I do, I'm really glad I did it. It feels really good to have accomplished that. And we need help. That's what a study guide does for us.
Exactly. And I know groups look a little bit different right now, or maybe I should say a lot different for most churches, but there is a group component of this. You could work through it as an individual or as a couple, but you can also do that as a group. Isn't that right?
Yeah, you know, there's something about a group that provides accountability that is even stronger than you. Okay, you wrote it down. You said you were going to do it. And now someone says, so did you actually do it? Well. And so even in this season, we've continued in our church doing small groups through Zoom. And some people are doing them through other apps that you can connect with and actually see some faces. I mean, I can remember when I was a little kid watching the Jetsons cartoon. And when they turned the phone on, a picture came up and you could actually talk to the person. I thought, oh, that'll never happen. And now we have it as a regular course of our everyday life. And so, yeah, you know what? Take time, get a group of people together, get a copy of Parenting First Aid, go through it with a few other parents. And what you'll learn is that they can be that accountability that you need, and you can be the helping hand and accountability that they need.
There you go. Yeah, I think I've noticed in my own life, the other part of that is something that you said before too. You kind of, you have this idealistic picture of parenthood. And when you find out, oh, I'm not the only one, when you let down your guard and let people know you might have an issue or two, lo and behold, you find out you're not alone. And there's something so powerful about that experience too, don't you think?
It's true. And, you know, we get in this trap where the enemy lies to us and says, oh, you're a terrible parent. Look what you're dealing with. You should have done this. You should have done that. You think, oh, yeah, everybody else is not having these struggles, just like you mentioned. And then all of a sudden, you're in a small group. You're going through a book like Parenting First Aid. It asks a probing question. So what is your greatest parenting struggle? And somebody else in the group shares a struggle, and you're thinking, that is exactly what I'm dealing with. Oh, my. And they just told everybody. And all of a sudden, you're encouraged to share what Betty said. That's me. I'm Betty. I've got the same struggle as Betty does. We're going through the same thing in our house. And oh, my goodness, I just feel so alone in the battle. And I felt like nobody else struggled like I did. And I came tonight and I learned that. And, you know, the leader says, yeah, that no temptation has come upon you except that which is common to man. Right. And you go, oh, I remember that scripture. Oh, yes, that's so true. And now all of a sudden, you won't have a stronger prayer partner, and Betty wouldn't ever have a stronger prayer partner than someone who's going through what she's going through, and you start praying for one another. And when you have a difficult day, you give her a call. When she has a difficult day, she gives you a call, and you build one another up.
And it's almost like what God intended the church to be in the very beginning, right? That's, we don't think of that as fellowship, but that certainly is a part of what true fellowship is, when we're encouraging one another in the things of God, whether it's pointed toward our parenting or whatever other area of our lives. One of the things I noticed, Marty, about your book is you're not so much, even though it's very practical, you're not so much pointing to do this and do that as you are pointing to character or the person, the kind of parent you want to be. Could you, I don't know if that's how you would summarize it, but could you kind of speak to that a little bit? You basically have a list of qualities for people to work on, or to allow the Lord to work on in their lives.
Yeah, you know, people want a list. You know, they give me the 10 things I need to
three
do.
Three things, yeah.
You know, the two, give me the one thing.
Right.
Give me the one thing that I need.
How can I fix
and,
this?
You know, it's like my daughter won't stay in bed after I put her down. Can you please tell me exactly what I need to do? If it's climb to the top of Mount Everest and put a flag in the mountain, that's what I'm going to do. I just need to know what I need to do. And God, what we think of, what we think about is what God is doing when he is going through with us this parenting process, is that he's raising a young adult, in a young child into an adult, and he's maturing a child. And God certainly is doing that. But God is doing far more than that. One of the things that God is doing is he's maturing a parent, and he's growing a parent. And so
what you realize is,
okay, all right, I thought the reason why this trial was here was because my daughter needed to become more respectful, and she needed to know that that's what she needed. And you know, if you could, you know, get a hotline to heaven, say, Lord, is that what's going on? And he says, no, actually, it has nothing to do with that, because I'm going to give her the grace to be respectful as soon as I help you deal with your unbelief that this will never change. I'm building faith in your heart. And so you realize, okay, but if I made a list of things, you know, you need to have faith in your heart. Like, how do I have faith in my Well, that's why a study of scripture and an understanding of the fact that God is for you and that he is sovereign and you can put your trust in him. All those kinds of big picture ideas aren't going to help you with one particular task, like how do I keep my daughter in her bedroom after 9 o'clock bedtime? But it will help you deal with that situation. You'll seek the Lord. You'll spend time in prayer. You'll ask other people for their counsel and care. You'll trust God. And when you try things, your whole happiness and joy and countenance won't depend on whether or not that works. You'll come back, Lord, all right, Lord, well, that didn't work. You got to give me something else. And God is there for us all along the way. And really, I think parenting first aid is about learning to partner with God, trust in Him, and know that He will be with you.
That is so great. I wish someone had told me that in the middle of homeschooling and raising 5 kids, because so many times I was either ready to blame it on the kids or like, what is wrong with them? Or sure that it was all my fault and everything, making everything about me.
If only I got the right curriculum, we wouldn't be having these problems right now.
That's
I must
right.
have got the wrong curriculum. It's like, no, that was the right curriculum. God superintended over that, and He's sovereign in control over it, and He's just getting at you, helping you to become patient.
Almost like He's in charge.
Almost.
Exactly. Well, now, that all that being said about how there's not a list and people want a list, Marty, when I know people have to come up to you all the time because you are a pastor, you are a parent, you're farther along than some other people in their parenting. You're, quote unquote, an expert. So people come and ask you for encouragement or ask you for tips. What do you tell, I mean, I'm sure you don't hand them a copy of your book or point them to, you know, your local bookstore. What do you say to them to encourage them right in the moment?
Well, what I'd like to do is to help them know that God understands. He actually understands. So if you look at Isaiah 1, Isaiah is speaking for the Lord, and he says, on God's behalf, about Israel, children I have reared, and they have rebelled against me. And you realize, okay, he's a parent of Israel, and that there wasn't anything God could do in through the whole Old Testament era that would turn his sinful children into obedient children that followed him. They kept rebelling. They kept rebelling. They had sin in their heart. And it says halfway through chapter 1 of Isaiah, I have become weary of bearing their sacrifices. They would offer up a sacrifice but disobey God. That caused him as a parent to become weary. So if you're a weary parent, you need to understand that God has used that language in the scripture to help us to know he knows what it's like to be weary. Yeah. And then what's the answer? The answer, though your sins are red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. Where's the answer? What was the answer God had? I'm going to send my only son, Jesus, to come as a man, die on the cross for the sins of your children. I'm going to reach down and save them, not because they deserve it, not because they earned it, but because of my grace. And that's what I'm going to do. What was God's solution to his rebellious children? It was to send Jesus to die on the cross. What's our solution to our rebellious kids? It's no less. They need Jesus. And God is there as a loving father who understands the hardship of going through times that are wearying as a parent. And he has provided his son. Why? Because he so loved the world. That means he so loved your children. And so what I do is I say to parents, we must not, in our effort to walk through parenting difficulties, ever give up on the gospel. We need to believe that the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. That includes children. And we need to lovingly reach out to our kids with a life-transforming message and make sure that in our own lives, we're displaying our own trust in the Lord so that they have an example. And then that's planting the seeds. That's watering the seeds. We patiently wait because only God can make them grow. Sometimes what parents think is, I got to make those seeds grow. Tell me what I need to do to make the seeds grow. It's like, well, you know, like, actually, you can't. What do you mean I can't? I got seeds. They gotta grow. It's like, no, yeah, the farmer plants and he waters, but who gives the increase? The sovereign God of the universe.
Amen. Well, those are definitely words of encouragement, and I love the gospel focus. That again, where were you 10 years ago? I mean, anyway, thank you so much, and I am glad for the ways God is using you. I do think these are difficult times for parents in so many ways, so many challenges. I look at with my I have a 2-year-old grandson, and I think, you know, I'm kind of glad I'm already done with this phase of life, because there is a lot going on out there. Well, one more thing I would love to have you do for our listeners, Marty, and that's if you would give them the hope and encouragement of praying for them, please.
I would be glad to. Lord, you know who is right now listening to this program, and you know the struggles that have come to mind as we've spoken. And you know how paper thin for some their faith has become, to where if they held it up to the light, they could see right through it. And they feel as though it's not even there. I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon them wherever they are right now, and that you would give them fresh faith that you are with them. You are for them. You understand the trial, and you are going to work all things together for good in their life. And if you are with them, if God is for us, who can be against us? We don't need to listen to the enemy's lies that would like to bring condemnation down on our performance. We need to say, no, it's not really about my performance. Of course, I'm a sinner and I fail. All parents do. It's about a forgiving Savior, powerful, who can save, pour out his Spirit, and transform. And that's what I ask that you would do, God. You would reach out and touch the hearts of children, that you would give fresh faith to parents and bless families. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Wow, that's so powerful, and I really think this book is a powerful tool as well. So, Marty, I want to thank you again. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your wisdom, and especially your heart for God and your heart for family. So, thank you, and listeners, I want to thank you, too. We always appreciate the gift of your time, and we never take that or you for granted. Be sure to watch for more episodes of the Family Matters series on Charisma News.